In Genesis 18:4, where the Lord said to Abraham, at the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. It's interesting. We were here a year ago, and my daughter was carrying a child in utero, and today she carries that child in vivo. And so welcome, Anselm Leek, to church this morning. But the principle there is interesting, that God is able to fulfill his word. Even if it seems impossible, even if it seems difficult to us. And so I want to ask you a question as we get ready to read the word and hear the word preached. How will you be different 1 year from now because you have believed and practiced the word of God? How will you be different 1 year from now because you have believed and practiced the word of God? Brothers and sisters, we must read the word, yes. We need to hear it preached, yes. But we need to be doers of the word. And so I encourage you with that. That's a sermon in itself. We'll let that one go and preach that some other time. But I want to encourage us as we hear the word to have a mind towards being doers of the word as well through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the light is telling me to turn my mic on, so I will obey and turn it on. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. Hear the word of God, the eternal word of God, which is truth. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Amen. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we bless your name. We're so grateful that you have given us your word, which is truth, your word in which there are no errors, no mistakes, perfect in every way. And so, God, we pray that through your word you would complete and perfect in each of us the good work that you have begun through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that that your Spirit would teach us, that your Spirit would illuminate our minds, our hearts, and prepare our feet to walk in your paths and walk in your ways. Take out our hearts of stone. Give us hearts of flesh that love you, that love one another, that desire to proclaim your good news, your wonderful deeds to all men and even to the ends of the earth. Because, Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all glory, all honor, all praise. And it's in your name we give you thanks and give you praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Please be seated. What a wonderful thing that God has given us good news. God has given us good news. If we truly understand that all have sinned and fall way short of the glory of God, and that there is none righteous, no, not one, and that we, all of us, naturally come into the world as selfish rebels fleeing the law of a holy God, if we understand that, then we are convinced that the good news is that which the world desperately needs. Our world, as it stands now, desperately needs
the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And if you don't believe me, just read the newspaper. If you don't believe me, read the section of the newspaper that gives the police reports. If you don't believe me, go to the parts of the city that are devastated by crime, that are devastated by drugs, by families broken apart. And you will know for certain that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go to the rural places and find the same things as well. There are drug and gang problems, even in the rural places and in the suburbs, because people have lost hope, because they don't have the gospel. The good news is what the world desperately needs. And that's what this psalm, Psalm 96, is all about. We're commanded three times to sing. Did you notice that? Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. It's almost Trinitarian in its structure there. Three times we're told to sing to our God. We're to sing a new song. We're to sing to the Lord, all the earth. It's all encompassing. It's for the whole world to sing that song. We're to sing to the Lord and bless His name, to bow or kneel to His name. We're to sing to the Lord a new song. Isn't it true when we go into the world to our work and you hear people complain? And sometimes I'm those people who complain, Lord, forgive me. We're to do all things without grumbling and complaining, the word says. But people say things like, same old, right? Same old stuff. They don't say stuff, but you know what they say. Different day. But we're to be those who sing a new song to the Lord. And we're to be those who look at things from an eternal perspective, as Solomon looked at things from a temporal perspective and said, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. What's happened before happens again. It keeps going on, and there's nothing really new. The Lord, from His eternal perspective, says, behold, I make all things new. Amen? And so as believers, we are those who are the first fruits of that new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. The old things are buried. But behold, new things have come. We are the people of the new. And so we must sing a new song. We're the people of the new covenant. Not like the old covenant. We're people of the new covenant, where God takes out our old stony hearts and puts in a new heart of flesh. He takes out the old spirits of rebellion and puts in a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in God's ways and keep His statutes, so that we fulfill the law of the Spirit. We are those who don't walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. And so we're new creations. We live under the new covenant. And we trust in the one who promises to give us a new heavens and a new earth. And so all these things, God is going to take things as they are, and we don't look at them with rose-colored glasses. We understand that they're bad, but God is in the process of renewing them. And He renews them how? He renews them through His Word. He renews them through his Spirit. He sends forth his Spirit and renews the face of the earth. And he tells us, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And so we renew our minds with this word. We renew our minds as the Holy Spirit takes that word and brings us to life. It's not that the word needs to come to life. The word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. We need to come to life, to the word. And that's what the word does. It brings us, we who were dead, brings us to life. And so we have good news. It says in verse 2 of Psalm 96, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings or good news of his salvation from day to day. The word translated proclaim good news is the Hebrew word basar, which actually comes from flesh. And so one commentator says, well, you might be wondering why is he saying flesh? Or why does that word proclaim good news come? Why is it related to flesh? And the idea there is when they would celebrate back in the ancient Near East, they would kill the fatted calf, and so there would be a feast. And so another way of saying is proclaim a feast, proclaim good news, celebrate the salvation of the Lord from day to day. And so we are those who need to celebrate the good news that God has given us. And we do that in this way. We proclaim Jesus daily. That's what we want to talk about this morning. People of God, we must proclaim Jesus daily. Another title for the sermon today is, where are the evangelizing men? Last week was, where are the praying men? This week, where are the evangelizing men and women? Where are they? And years ago, I think it was almost 5 years ago, or 4.5 years ago, a dear pastor and brother in the Lord really exhorted my wife and I by this statement, looking at the church in America as it stands, and this is the evangelical church, and he said this, there are two things the evangelical church in America will not do, people, rank and file, people in the pew will not do. They will not pray, and they will not evangelize. And I think those words cut us. They cut us because we were convicted. You know, we would say, well, we pray, or we'd say, well, we evangelize, and our prayer and evangelism, my wife and I, this is confessing our sins, was maybe just enough to get by. Just enough to salve the conscience, to say, okay, we did our duty. Okay, evangelized. Are you happy? That kind of attitude. And what this pastor said, he is a pastor who often goes to Uganda and helps with schools of evangelism in Uganda. And he says that since the 30s, the country of Uganda has had what's called a revival culture. It's a culture where people understand that what people need most is the gospel. And so they desire to do what they can in the spirit for people to get the gospel and for them to proclaim the gospel. And so they pray And wow, do they pray. And they evangelize and they're excited about sharing the gospel and hearing the gospel. And so, and there are other countries like that too. Korea is another one. There are places in Korea, there are churches in Korea where they have daily prayer meetings, daily, at 4:30 or 5:30 till like 6:30. Every day before work, you'll have people gathering at church to pray, to call in the name of the Lord, to ask that his gospel would go out and that that lost people would be convicted of sin and come to faith in Jesus the Redeemer. And so, how will we be different? Will we be those who hunger and desire prayer and hunger and desire to share the gospel as often as we can? These are things that we need to grow into. And so, people of God, proclaim Jesus daily. Who do we proclaim? I want to look at 5 points. Who do we proclaim? What do we proclaim? Why do we proclaim Jesus? How do we proclaim Jesus? And when do we proclaim Jesus? Who do we proclaim? We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim Jesus. We're not proclaiming the Reformed faith. We believe in a Reformed understanding of the faith, but that's not what we proclaim. We don't proclaim John Calvin, although we may agree with many of the things that he says. We don't proclaim Dr. Cameron either. We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim Jesus. And we want to proclaim good news of his salvation day to day. Do you know that in the Hebrew, the word salvation is Yeshua? And so you can read this verse in verse 2, proclaim good tidings of his Yeshua from day to day. Proclaim good news of his Jesus from day to day. Why do I say that? Well, the scriptures affirm again and again from Genesis to Revelation that salvation is not a thing. Salvation is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Jesus taught this in John 5:39. He said to the Pharisees, he took them to task. He said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is these that testify to me." Amen. The scriptures testify to Jesus Christ because salvation is in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, teaching in Luke 24, says this to the disciples who were gathered after his resurrection from the dead. He gives them that wonderful Bible study. Wouldn't you have loved to be there as Jesus explained from the scriptures all the things written about him? It says in Luke 24, 44, "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." Amen. Amen. Jesus taught them all that was written about him in the law of Moses. That would be the first 5 books of the Old Testament. All that was written of him in the prophets. All the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the minor prophets, And the Psalms. And the Psalms include all the wisdom literature. So you have Psalms, you have Proverbs, you have Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. All of those things are fulfilled in Jesus. All of them speak of him and his great salvation. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Oh, that the Lord would open our minds to understand the scriptures and to see Jesus, to see Jesus, to see Yeshua, salvation personified, walking through the pages of scriptures. Amen? We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's our goal. We want to see every man, every woman, every child complete in Christ. In order to do that, we must proclaim him, proclaim Jesus. Who do we proclaim? We proclaim Jesus. What do we proclaim? We proclaim his message, the message of good news. And that message, we sang it in the hymn, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's what his name means. The word name Jesus comes from the Hebrew, as I said, Yeshua, which is a contraction of Yehoshua. And so in that name, you have God's name. Yahweh is one pronunciation of it. Jehovah is another pronunciation. The more accurate pronunciation is Yahweh, because Jehovah takes the pointing from the word Adonai and applies it to the divine name. And so when the Jehovah's Witnesses tell you that they are the true witnesses of God and his true name, you have to tell them, well, you're mispronouncing it. You're mispronouncing it. And besides that, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, I am the great I am. This is in John 8:28. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And so whenever I see the Jehovah's Witnesses, I tell them, you need to believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, as he said in John 8:28, or you will die in your sins. And I tell them, you seem like nice people and be sad for you to die in your sins. Please believe that Jesus is God so that you will not die in your sins and be saved. Because Jesus saves. Jesus, you shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. He will save his people from their sins. We, in our day and age, don't think sin is such a bad thing. We think, well, everybody sins, nobody's perfect. And so we kind of equivocate that way, but we need to see sin from God's perspective, that sin is utterly sinful, that sin is the exact opposite of all that God is, all his character, all his glory, all his holiness. And so sin is terrible. Sin brings about death. Sin destroys us. It destroys families. It destroys hearts. It destroys minds. And if we give ourselves to sin, God gives us over to that sin and its outworkings. And so when we follow the path of sin, it leads to death. The wages, the payment of sin is death. God pays out what we deserve. We deserve death. We deserve hell because of our sin. I deserve hell because of my sin. But God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. He sent Jesus to redeem you, to redeem me, to adopt us as his sons and daughters. Jesus saves his people from their sin. And there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. This is what we proclaim. We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim that he saves. We proclaim that he is glorious. Psalm 96, verse 3, tell of his glory among the nations. He is the King of glory. Psalm 24 says, he is the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians says, and it says in verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Or attribute is a good word there. Attribute to the Lord that he is glorious and mighty. And the word leads us in that direction in Revelation. We are to worship the Lamb. Worship the Lamb because he is worthy. So we proclaim Jesus. We proclaim him as the one who saves us from our sin. We proclaim him as the one who is glorious. We also need to know why we proclaim him. Why do we proclaim him? Well, Jesus created all things. Verse 5, it says, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Lord made the heavens. It says that Jesus made the heavens because Jesus is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is fully God and fully man. Amen? Colossians 1:16, by him, that is, by the Son of God, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And so as our Creator, he is worthy of worship. In the beauty of holiness. Verse 9. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And doesn't Revelation 5:12 say, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That is the Jesus that we worship. And then it says, say to the people, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Who reigns even now at the Father's right hand? Who? Jesus. Jesus reigns. Say to the people, the Lord reigns. And it also says, he is coming. It says, indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And then the whole world is called to worship God. It says in verse 11, let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. You see, God knows. God knows what you're going through. God knows when those crude jokes are being spoken around you because you are there to torment you. God knows. He's paying attention. When people are oppressed, God sees. He has put all of our tears in a bottle. The psalmist says, he knows and he cares, and he's going to make it right. He is coming to judge the earth, to judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples with faithfulness. So don't worry. God's got it all in control. He's got it all in hand. Don't believe those who say God doesn't see or God doesn't care. That's a lie from the enemy. It smells like smoke because you know where it came from. Don't believe the enemy. Believe the word of God. Jesus is coming. That's part of our message. The eternal gospel. Glorify God. Worship him. Fear him. And judgment has come. And that's Revelation chapter 14 rendition of the gospel. That's what we proclaim. We proclaim Jesus. Why? Because he created, because he's worthy, because he reigns, and he's coming again. How do we proclaim Jesus? Well, in this psalm, we're told to sing and tell. Sometimes we need to show and tell, but this time we're encouraged to sing and tell. If we truly are singing a new song about Jesus, and we're not complaining, we're not singing the old song that everybody else sings, if we're singing a new song about Jesus, about his goodness, about his faithfulness, about the way he is able to take all things, God is able to take all things and work them together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He's able to do that. And so you encourage them to become those who love God, to become those who are called according to his purpose. You preach the gospel to them. And if they believe, then they find out that they were called to his purpose. They were predestined to believe. I know we're talking about mysteries here, but both are active human responsibility and God's sovereignty. I can't believe for you. You must believe for you. And yet you can't believe unless God gives you the grace to believe. The Bible teaches both. How do we proclaim Jesus? We sing that new song. And we sing it to all the earth. So we bring it as far as and as wide as we can. We do it in the fear of the Lord. When you share the gospel, you must have a fear of the Lord. Do it in reverence and fear. And people will pick up on that. If you have irreverence, then it scarcely will help people turn away from the irreverence that they have. And we live in an age that is very irreverent. I shouldn't have to even say that. We live in a nation of mockers and scoffers and snarky comments. That's what we do. And ask me how I know this, because I make those comments from time to time. But I repent, and I want to repent of those mockings and scoffings, because God calls us to be sober, to have a sober mind, and calls us away from coarse jesting and calls us to thanksgiving and calls us to proclaim the good news. Because this is what our mouths were created for. Our mouths were not created for foul things or unhelpful things to come out of them. Our mouths were created to bless God, and to bless our neighbor. And so when we do those other things, that's not a source of blessing. So may the Lord cause us to have our mouths be those pure and clean fountains, bringing forth blessing, like James tells us. You know, we can have mouths that bring forth salt water at one point, and then fresh water at another point. Brothers, these things ought not to be, James says. And so we want to be those who, in the fear of the Lord, proclaim Jesus. We sing and we tell of his good news. And we do this relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that, listen, nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. And so if anything good comes from me, it's from God working in me through his word and through his spirit. And if we try to be those who pray more and pray daily, pray at all times in the spirit, if we try to be those who evangelize daily in the flesh, if we try to obey this law, it's going to kill us. It's going to kill us. Because the law kills, the letter kills, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives life. And so it's by the Spirit that we want to be those who grow in prayer. It's by the Spirit we want to be those who grow in evangelism. It's by the Spirit we want to be those who grow in love and grow in holiness, grow in sanctification. And so the apostle and the Holy Spirit through the apostle says, brothers and sisters, excel still more. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to aspire to grow in prayer, to grow in evangelism. We need to incline. We need to press toward the upward call of Jesus Christ. And so we need to do that as we considered how we proclaim Jesus. You know, churches have a life cycle. And that is, as they're growing, as they're new, they are inclining. And so they have this upward movement. They grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, and they grow in numbers. And then they tend to reach a peak, and they say, hey, we're doing pretty good. We're growing. We're learning. We're adding members. And then, for some reason, they say, well, you know, we've kind of reached a good place, so we're going to recline a little bit. And so they start to rest a little bit on their laurels. Well, the problem with recline is before you know it, you are beginning to decline. And that's what happens in churches. And so before the church even knows it, they're starting to shrink in numbers rather than grow in numbers. So the remedy for that curve is to stay on the incline, to rely on the Holy Spirit to enable you to excel still more, to keep praying that God will add to the number, to keep evangelizing so that God will add to the number. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, when do we proclaim? When do we proclaim? It says, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. From day to day. That's Hebrew for daily, on a daily basis. And I promise you, if you ask the Lord to fulfill that in you day to day on a daily basis, he will. Because he's more interested in you proclaiming this word than you are. And prayer is when we're bringing our desires in line with God's desires. And so ask him to do it. Test him in this even. And I think he will bless you and grow you in proclaiming Jesus daily. Proclaim him day to day. You know, even the world, the cosmos, all that God is created, proclaims him day after day. Psalm 19, 1 and 2. Day after day pours forth speech. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so we are surrounded by evidence of the glory of God. And not only are we surrounded by evidence of God's glory, it's planted inside us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we have evidence of God's glory around us. We have evidence of God's glory within us. And so as you share the gospel, know that God has already done a lot of pre-evangelism for you. Amen? So we're surrounded by the knowledge of God, and we even have that knowledge implanted in us. And so know that as you share the gospel on a daily basis, that God has gone ahead of you, as it were. And ask him to fill you with your spirit, with his spirit, so that you can proclaim the message boldly as you ought. And so we do it daily, but we also do it with a sense of urgency. 2 Corinthians 6, 2 says that we do it now. Now. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, if your house was on fire right now, if your house was on fire right now, when would you want the fire trucks and the firemen to be there? Now! Or if you're drowning and you want to be rescued from that water, when would you want to be rescued? Now! And so there are people around us whose literally their house is on fire from a spiritual perspective, and they're drowning from a spiritual perspective. Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's any less real. It's actually more real because there are eternal consequences. They need salvation now. And so we pray, Lord, save now. Hosanna, save now. Save now. Believe in Jesus now for your salvation. And proclaim Jesus now for the salvation of others. And so if you are here now and have not yet trusted in Jesus with all your heart, trusted his sacrifice on the cross, you need a perfect sacrifice to take away your sins, because you need to be made right. You need to be made holy before a holy and righteous God. And any old sacrifice will not do. It must be perfect. It must be the sacrifice that God provided. And God did provide that sacrifice for you and for me. John 3:16 says it this way: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved those who are his in the world enough to give his own Son as a sacrifice for the sins. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a danger, my friends, that we will perish, and we will perish unless we believe in His only Son, unless we believe in His sacrifice to take away our sins. So have you believed in His sacrifice? Have you trusted in His blood to wash away your sins? I urge you, I beg you, to trust Him and Him alone for your salvation. We can't trust in our parents, well, I was raised in a godly home. No, that's not going to save you. We can't trust in the church. Well, I went to this church and I was baptized. They had an altar call and I came. No, that's not going to save you. Only Jesus saves. Only His blood can wash away your sin. And only His blood can make you holy through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we proclaim Him now. I urge you to believe in Him now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. If you need someone to pray with you or for you regarding this extremely important question, I'd be glad to pray with you. One of the elders, Victor or Deacon Dave, they would be glad to explain it to you. But don't leave here without trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and without being assured that when you die, God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the glory of your master." That's what I want for all of us, and I pray for all of us. Believe in Jesus now and proclaim Jesus now. And so I ask you again, brothers and sisters in Christ, how will you be different 1 year from now because you have heard the Word of God, because you have believed it, and because you have done it? I pray that we will be those who pray daily, pray at all times in the Spirit, and evangelize daily. Those who excel and excel still more because of the power of the Holy Spirit working mightily in us. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His Yeshua, of His Jesus, from day to day. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, thank you. We bless your name. We're grateful for this so great salvation that you have given us. Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. He was buried. He was raised up again for our justification. He ascended. He is seated at your right hand, and He sends forth His Holy Spirit for our sanctification. Oh God, we thank you for these blessings. Give us grace to forget none of these benefits. Give us grace to walk in His ways, to enter into this ministry of intercession, to enter into this ministry of evangelism that you have given us. Make us like Jesus. Make us little Christs, those who pray and those who proclaim good tidings, good news of your salvation from day to day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.